I'm Bob Bolton from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Park.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
My name is David Holen. I'm 45 years old, and I'm here talking with my colleague.
My name is Tina Buxbaum. I am 38 years old, and I am talking to David Holen, my colleague. Well, at Fish and Game, what was your favorite part about being subsistence manager?
I think it was really the experiences I had in the communities. I was a fish eating vegetarian, and one of my favorite experiences was I spent a couple of seasons up on the Upper Kuskokwim in the community of Nikolai doing research, and they always told us, if you want to really know about subsistence, come back at Russian Christmas. That's when we pull out all the good food. And so I wrote a small grant to the Alaska Humanities Forum, and we got some funding to go back, and I would catalog everything people ate. And we started a little late because it was 50 below zero. You go from house to house carrying the icons, and you sing songs in each house. And we had to wait a couple nights for it to warm up to 40 below. And once we did, it was 10 to 11 houses a night, and we'd eat a full meal. And at all of those houses, it was things like moose nose soup or dried whitefish, which is really oily, or black bear, porcupine, all sorts of meat. And I've never been so sick in my life, but I loved it. I said, as an anthropologist, I need to experience this. So I no longer am a fish-eating vegetarian, yes, which my son appreciates because he likes to eat meat. We shoot a few birds once in a while, but we still eat a lot of salmon and such.
I know your PhD in anthropology is related to harvest and salmon and how it fits into the lifestyle. Did your fish and game experiences influence your PhD and how that was all formed?
Yes. My job at the department was to provide information to the Alaska Boards of Fisheries and Game for them to make informed decisions in terms of regulatory policy. But I still found over time that there was a lot missing. They seemed to focus on statistics and all of those things that we could gather from a Western format. What I wanted to know really was actually quite simple. Why do people continue to live in rural communities in Alaska? And what makes that possible? So I had a theory that both commercial and subsistence fisheries, especially salmon fisheries, really drove a lot of that in a lot of communities in southern Alaska. That the ability for harvesting salmon for commercial allowed for a monetary income, and subsistence allowed for people to have food security. But the bigger part of that was, what does it really mean in terms of culture and handing those commercial fishing lifestyle and a subsistence lifestyle down to your children? And does that really play a role in why people make decisions? So I stayed at the Department of Fish and Game until 2015, until I'd gone through a board cycle of 7 board meetings in a year, and including research, and my wife finally told me, you need to find a new job because you're never here.
I first met you when you applied to work as the Coastal Resilience Specialist that's jointly funded by ACAP and Sea Grant. And has it lived up to your expectations so far? Is that a loaded question, maybe?
It has. I think it's been 2 years now, and it's been one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. You know, just working with communities and thinking about what can we do from the university perspective in terms of research and the science that we provide. How can we bring that to communities? And then also, how can we listen to what they have to tell us, and we can learn from each other in a two-way dialogue? The people that I work with at the landscape conservation cooperatives are incredible, you know, and it's been great to have partners also within the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy, where you work. People now are so connected because of the fact that they can have cell phones that they can connect to the world through them. I think that that's actually a technology that's going to help make communities safer and bring about some real change. For example, I'm working with the National Weather Service now on a project to think about how to better deliver the weather to communities. You know, what is it in a weather forecast that's most useful for people, and how can they use that in combination with their local knowledge to make better informed decisions about traveling on the landscape? Or do you go hunting today or do you not? Do you take a boat or do you take a snow machine? You know, those kind of things. I think that's going to make things safer. And I think we think about that more now. It used to be, it was those villages were far off and we didn't think about them as much as we do today. And now I think in terms of our discourse here in Alaska, we think a lot more about the impacts to rural communities, not just what's going on in the cities. I think as we move forwards, there will be more focus on trying to make a better life for all Alaskans, even in rural places that are so far off.
What makes you most hopeful for future going forward? Like, what is your bright spot, shining star that keeps you going?
I think Alaskans sharing with each other their stories of success, to me, is going to be one of the things that really brings, you know, hope to communities. I've seen projects in communities that have really changed people's lives. And those kind of projects that make it better for communities, whether it's a community garden or using biomass to heat your homes or produce electricity, different types of projects to make value-added projects from the resources available on the local landscape that people can do. I have to make a shameful plug for our website, adaptalaska.org, where we're going to hope we have built and we're going to tell those stories of success. I've seen a great artistry come out of Alaska. It has changed. We've become the way in which we've articulated the importance of our resources to us and how we've done that through art and other type of expression. That makes me really hopeful. I honestly think that by telling these stories about that and sharing with one another as Alaskans, I think that's going to be our great strength.
Thank you very, very much for talking to me. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skomberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Michael DeLue, and our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.